Good morning, Scrawl Nation. Today is Friday, February 2nd, and this is Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. You're listening to Scrawl Radio, hurried but well-considered thoughts about peer writing, tutoring, and the writing process, brought to you by the University Center for Writing-Based Learning, a.k.a. The Equable. I'm your host, Kate H., joined, as always, by Gia Z. What's up, Gia?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. We also got our other regular host, Zoe K. What's up?
Hello, what's good?
And Katie A.
Hi, how's everyone doing today?
Good. I'm ready to go. I'm rip-roaring and ready to go for today's show. I'm very excited because we're going to be talking about zines today.
Woo!
Lots of energy in this studio. And we also have a very special guest, a fellow peer writing tutor, Madeline H. is here with us. Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about you and what you do like at the Writing Center and at DePaul?
So I'm a senior at DePaul. I'm an English Lit journalism double major with a minor in Spanish. I just started working at the Equable, and I'm on CMWR, which is like another team.
Center for
Multilingual Writing and Research.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
That's a good team.
I never remember.
Really fun.
Amazing.
G is not talking into the mic this morning. She doesn't understand how to share.
She just has a hard time with sharing.
That's fine. But today we're going to be talking about zines. We got a couple of zine experts in the house, right? So Madeline has some experience with them, and so does Zoe, right?
Yes, indeed.
Dope. So I guess we first want to talk about like what is a zine.
Yeah.
I have a couple of good definitions I found. So Rookie Mag, their definition is very reputable source for the definition of it was this or like Urban Dictionary.
We're only facts. Okay.
I support Rookie Mag. It's cool.
We are because this is their How to Make a Zine article. It says zines are self-published, small circulation, often nonprofit books, papers, or websites. They usually deal with topics too controversial or niche for mainstream media, presented in an unpolished layout and unusual design. Everyone from a major NGO to a teenager, to a teenager like you can be an author, also an editor, art director, and publisher of a zine. And that's part of what makes them so awesome. So I think that immediately hits on kind of why we're talking about zines and like it relates to some Equable core practices, like anyone who writes is a writer.
Yeah.
Anyone who wants to make a zine.
There's no universal process.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So that's, there's no universal way to go about it. There's no universal zine maker that everybody has to be like or anything like that.
It's a wild amount of creative freedom.
Yes.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we wanted to chat about like the history of the zine. Like why, when did these like first, arise? Mm-hmm. What's the 411 on that?
Okay, so I was thinking about this morning because I was like, how did zine start? And I was like, it was Star Trek. And then I was thinking, no, I'm thinking of a different show that we did. We did a show on fan fiction a while ago. And fan fiction started from Star Trek. But then I was looking it up again this morning. Zine started from
the fan Star fiction Trek. From Star Trek.
Yes, they started as fanzines of Star Trek with their own fan fictions and like illustrations and all that kind of stuff. And like circulated it throughout other fans and stuff. Like you could pay to subscribe to like your favorites and things like that.
I had no idea all this art came from Star Trek.
Right? Star Trek is an icon.
Wow. It is.
It's
like a cultural phenomenon in like fandom,
My understanding of zines was that they always arose out of like maybe like a 90s punk movement. Like you're too anarchist to create, something
that's
profitable.
Well, so that's what it shifted into, right?
Yeah. So I just didn't know the origin was
When did Star Trek come out?
Star Trek
is it 70s?
We get trashed if I get it
because you do have a lot of zines that come from like punk shows, so like that would accompany like the bands because people would promote their own shows and promote the bands.
The first episode of Star Trek aired in 1966.
So
it goes all the way back.
That makes sense.
So zines have
we have a
come
long
way.
History.
When I think of zines, I also think of I think it's punk, like the zine from CBGB's, or
what is that?
Yeah, it was one of the first original punk zines about like punk music when I was first coming to the scene, and like CBGB's was a thing, and it was like Dead Boys and you know, Talking Heads and all this like Lou Reed and all this like edgy stuff, and like that's where the term punk originated from, I'm pretty sure, because it's like I'm a punk and it's all like anarchist
and I know that
different.
I think they the surrealist movement in the 1920s also kind of put out like a magazine.
Magazine.
It was called Blast, which was a magazine. Pretty exciting. Like it was a.
Whoa! Thanks, Gia. What's the difference?
Well, the difference is
glossy
the
paper.
Yeah, the glossy. Well, not even that. It's glossy. Just the creative.
Wait,
creative
did you say magazine or magazine?
Mega. M-E-G-A.
Okay, so what is the difference between mega and magazine?
I was saying mega in the sense that it was really big.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that wasn't like a term.
It might be, but I don't know. I just was calling it mega because it was big.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys are the experts, but in the distinction we're talking about between magazines and zines, I think it's that zines are more independently produced. Mm-hmm. They're not here to make a profit or sell something. They're here to be like an independent product, not tied to an institution.
Yeah, they're usually like.
Whereas
ideas.
A magazine is not. A magazine is another like. Capitalist. Instrument of the bourgeoisie.
Scroll gets political.
Real fast. No, but I think you're right. And zines have a lot more to do with like the spreading of ideas and of art.
Yeah.
Like artists use them a lot to kind of show samples of their own work and stuff like that.
I feel like zines definitely come from like niche little communities. Mm-hmm. So people will make zines that kind of fit this like artistic community that they feel like they're in. So there are like many different zines that you can find in Chicago that fit different communities and different members and how they want to express themselves.
And I think that'd be the appeal of zines, to me at least, is that they are niche. And so, like, I feel like when you find one that fits your niche, you're kind of just like, oh, it's like a very communal thing. It's very, like, it's more understanding and, like, tight-knit, I feel like, than if you just picked up a magazine who has to be distributed to, like, a mass audience. It has to fit everyone.
Thank you for saying that, because you brought up a great quote that I found also about zines from Mental Floss. So they write, let me see who the author is. I should be better about this. Chloe Arnold wrote this. So she says, most definitions of zines include the fact that they're small circulation, self-published, and often inexpensive or free. The most important aspect of a zine is generally that the publication identifies as one. Many zine makers will say zines are as much about the community as the product, and that identifying as a zine is what separates these publications from comics, literary journals, websites, and other types of independent publications. Yeah. So I think you're totally hitting the nail on the head with like the idea of community.
High five myself. If zines sprawl across all kinds of communities, that brings me to our next prompted question. Can anyone make a zine?
Anyone
at all?
Anybody, anywhere, anytime. We could make one right now if we had
Scrawl
means.
Zine.
Right.
Scrawl zine.
We can talk a little bit, I think we'll save that for the second half of the show, like what exactly like materials and like process and stuff like that. But don't you have, Zoe, a quote from your little book here
about
zines?
So we're gonna be borrowing from this book, Notes from Underground: Zines and the Politics of Alternative Culture,
which is just a dope find that you just happen to have
Stephen
for Dunco. Zine Week.
Shout out to Women and Children First Bookstore.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it.
So here's a quick little baby quote. Zines are speaking to and for an underground culture. And while other groups of individuals come together around the shared creation of their own culture, what distinguishes zinesters from garden variety hobbyists is their political self-consciousness. Many zinesters consider what they do an alternative to and strike against commercial culture and consumer capitalism. They write about this openly in their zines. What was amazing to me, coming from years of sterile academic and political debates on the left, in which culture is often in the past dismissed as irrelevant to the real struggle, was that zines seemed to form a true culture of resistance. Their way of seeing and doing was not borrowed from a book, nor was it carefully cross-referenced and cited. Rather, it was, if you'll forgive the word, organic. It was vernacular radicalism, an indigenous strain of utopian thought.
Wow. Amazing quote.
Profound.
I like that. It's kind of saying, you know, what you're learning in your, like, high academic institutions isn't that different than what you're learning in your zines.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah, you know, like, we all laughed when Katie was talking about the bourgeoisie, but, like,
literally.
No, don't laugh about that.
But it is founded around, like, anti-capitalism.
I mean, you could go to, like, some Noam Chomsky talk at, like, MIT, and it would be great. You'd learn a lot. But also, probably get the same sentiment reading your zines.
Yeah.
You know, I think they were talking about, you know, Marxism, stuff like that before it was cool, before it was not before. I mean, that's a
before
bit much.
It was a millennial trend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, let's all just quit school because
just make zines
just
for
make
a living.
Some
you know
zines,
what?
Man.
Just make zines. Quit school. Everybody will be fine.
That's an economic decision that saved you a lot of money.
I don't think zines make a lot of money though. Is the key point here?
No. You spend a lot of money to make your zine.
Right.
Oh yes,
it's a passion project.
It is a passion.
Fruit of labor.
So, you know, Zoe, you know a little bit about DePaul's specific history of zines.
And
so
I don't know if Madeline, if you know about DePaul's history of zines.
We learned
about a little last week and we were like, controversial.
Yeah. Well, they have a zine archive here.
It's a great.
Yeah.
So is that in the library?
Yeah. You can go on the database.
You can go on the database. It's on the database. You can go like literally like sit there and read people's zines.
I was gonna say, is it in like the special collections?
Yep, special collections.
Oh, really cool.
Okay, shout out to the librarians up in the special collections. I love y'all. Y'all are great. I keep doing what you do because you're doing it so good.
Underappreciated.
Truly.
For sure.
But yeah, so in 1994 was the first underground press conference in Chicago, and it was gathering the zine publishers to discuss and debate the zine phenomenon and attract public attention to zines.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think the very first like real zine that was like not Star Trek was in Chicago.
That would make sense. Chicago's
well, shout
that
out.
Kind of place.
Yeah, isn't that dope? That's
yeah.
Super cool.
And actually, this first underground press conference was hosted at DePaul University.
Wow.
Wildly enough, back in the day, however many years ago that is, I can't do math off the top of my head, but
long time
DePaul
ago.
Was hosting 24, that.
24, I think.
24 years?
No.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yes. 24 years ago, DePaul hosted a zine conference. And they had like panels. This is like a real conference. Like they had panels about distribution and creation and politics. And they had like people come and read, and they had the current poet laureate of Chicago come in.
Wow.
They had photographers and sound artists. And like they really like pulled it out. There was a rare book librarian. There was editors.
So big old conference.
Big old conference.
And
but
is
they
that
only
DePaul?
Had it 1 year. DePaul. So that was 1944.
Which sounds interesting, but a bit anti-zine.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or 19. Yeah. Oh my
because
gosh.
It's very much tied
to inclusion. Not 1944. 1994. Correction.
Okay,
the
so
90s.
I was gonna say two conversations were happening here.
Yeah.
I need to separate those.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
I forgot we were on air.
Yeah. So we were just talking about how. Like the fact that zines had a place at DePaul University is very anti-zine because they're residing so heavily in an institution that they don't.
That was the issue. The next year in 1995. 1995.
Okay, so we figured out it was 1994.
95s. This is the 90s. I'm sorry.
Not 44.
I implied it was the 40s. This is the 90s.
I was like,
we're
wow.
Not that historic.
I was like, didn't
here.
We just decide that the zine started in the 60s? But
no,
okay,
this is the 90s.
Can you imagine?
My bad.
In the middle of World War II, and everyone's just like, let's talk about zines.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that would be a time. Yeah, so 1995 was mostly about the conference at DePaul, again, was mostly about the launch of an underground press archive and exhibit of zines at our library here at DePaul. People were asked to donate their zines and like bring in stuff, and it created the collection Chicago Great Lakes Underground Press Collection, which you can still access. You know, go check them out. But there was, so actually Quimby's zine store in Wicker Park was, and a zine publisher were a little critical of how the fact that an institution was hosting the zine conference. And,
so they brought up those concerns.
Mm-hmm, they were just like, the personality conflicts and also the zine media saturation, because zines are not institutional things, and having it at an institution was controversial. So they made a parody program of DePaul's thing, and they were like, panels are how to pronounce zine. What do you do with all your undistributed copies of zines? Melvin Graham Crackers snack break.
That's hilarious.
So they were a little. Rightly so, rightly justified, but they were salty about this, and it didn't continue past the second year.
Yeah,
okay.
I think it's also, we talked about this a little last week, how DePaul not only is an institution, but is like a Catholic institution, yeah. which is directly connected to an even bigger institution mm-hmm. of like, in some cases, like oppression. And so we can get into that, but it's very unzine. Yeah. It's very anti-zine. So, yeah.
But let's see. So it was this Saturday. Zoe went yes. to a slumber party.
At Quimby's.
So that's
Quimby's.
A yearly thing.
This is a yearly thing. They have it every January. Okay. Shout out to Quimby's big time. Love Quimby's Wicker Park. Go there. Support them. Love them. But so every year they have a slumber party where they basically have their store open overnight from like 9:30 p.m. to 6 a.m. and you can just hang out with a bunch of other people and make zines.
Amazing.
You can leave if you want. You can spend the night. People like crash there, you know.
But you're really... I feel like most of like zine like culture is like more sharing zines.
Yes.
Like there aren't that many places where you... Yeah, like yeah. communal creative spaces,
it's
right?
It's great.
Yeah.
Last year I went by myself. And I met a bunch of wonderful people, and we still like go to zine events together sometimes.
Yeah, that's so
and
fun.
Like, are like, hey, what are you making right now? And this year, I took two of my friends who had never ever made a zine before, and they both made an entire zine that night.
That's awesome.
It was like the most exciting thing watching them do this creative process for the first time and just like come out with their zine the next morning. Like, look, I made this.
Yeah, that's
it
dope.
It was so exciting. So. I was a proud mama, let me tell you.
A proud zine mama.
Yes.
So you've got a little recording for us, don't you?
I do.
You record a little snippet of a friend that you brought?
Not a friend that I brought, but actually, not to be cheesy, but this is the friend that really motivated me to start making my own personal zines.
That's awesome.
With my own personal writing. So we're going to hear from my friend, Steven.
I was going to say, so we'll hear from Steven, and then we'll take a little break to do Men Explain Things to Me by Taco Cat, and then we'll see you guys on the other side.
Hello, this is Zoe Knight, and I'm with Steven Zeich.
Mm.
We're going to talk about their zines today, so tell me a little bit about yourself.
My name is Steven Zeich. I am a recent DePaul graduate, and I don't have any hair.
It's pretty exciting. Pretty exciting stuff. So, tell me about your zines. Why did you start making them?
I started making them, I don't know why, I can tell you when, I started doing it. Less than even a year ago.
Mm.
I put out my first one last summer just because I felt like I should be writing because all I did was make visual art and I wanted to do something different.
Nice. Why did you pick zine as a format? Like, what appealed to you about that?
I like it because no one can tell me what to do. So,
this is
so,
true.
Yeah, so I just make whatever I want and then, like, 4 days later, I can hand it to someone.
Yeah.
So I like the immediacy, too.
Oh, that's a good pattern. Are you involved in the zine community at all?
Not really.
Okay, would you like to be?
Maybe? I might.
Fair enough.
I have nothing against it, I just...
No.
I usually do my own thing, so...
That makes sense. What is your creative process when you're making a zine? Like, how do you go about formatting... Okay, so actually, pause on that thought. Steven has a really handy-dandy formatting guide that I use mm-hmm. and send to a lot of people because figuring out page numbers and formatting stuff is really hard, but Steven's got a whole little doc ready to go, so tell me about that and also your general creative process, please.
So it depends on what I'm working on. The process will be different. But if it's just writing zines, which I've done 4 of now, I usually try and write, so my zines usually have just 6 pieces of writing, then 6 images that go along with one another, and I try and write just one piece a day and make the accompanying piece of art in the same day. And when I'm working on a zine, I know that I'm working on it, so I just have my notes app open on my phone and just write shit down as it, like, happens throughout the day, and then usually I go home and I just pump out the whole thing in one sitting.
Wow, I'm pretty impressed with that. Actually.
It's okay. Yeah.
So then where do you get your inspiration from?
I don't know. Just like anything, really.
Okay. Anything specific that do you see any trends or themes in your
one
work?
One thing in a lot of my zines is that they happen when I go home because mm-hmm. I'm so fucking bored that I just will make a zine instead of like trying to hang out with friends from high school.
Oh,
so
yeah,
there's a lot of like probably like 40% of all my writing is a weird paraphrase of like conversations that have happened in my family that are like sort of chopped and screwed. So that's a trend.
That is a trend. That is a trend. That's a good trend. That makes that makes sense. That's what I do too. So, so talk to me about your distribution process.
So for the zines, the first three that I made, I only made 10 each. I think I did, went 10, 10, 20, actually, I don't know. And then I just posted on my Instagram story, like, who wants one of these heaps of shit? And a bunch of people wanted them, so that was cool, and I got rid of all of those.
Wow.
And then I wrote a fourth zine, which I think is called 100% Heretic, but I'm not sure. And so then I added that to the other three and made that anthology called A Fistful of 50s. Mm-hmm. And that one, I distributed to a lot more people. I think my first printing was like 25, and then I've done more printings, which is like pretty small scale, but bigger than my last ones by a factor of 4 or 5, depending on how much I put out. I usually just give them to people that I know in person for free, or if someone wants to, they can pay me for it. It costs exactly $2.40 to print one, so people pay me that usually.
Okay.
And then I've mailed like 2 or 3 of those to like internet friends across the country.
Nice.
In little trades.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So where do you print?
DePaul.
Okay, use DePaul.
I use the DePaul library, and then if I want to print in color, or if I want to just print on like nicer paper, I'll go to the anthropology department and use one of the professor's printers, who's kind enough to let me use theirs, because they're better.
That's fair, that's fair.
And then I can fuck with the settings, too, because they're not going to, like, they're cool with it. So.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. You also have a book.
I do
have a book. You want to talk about your book?
I wrote a book, it's called Fita. It's, like, just under 200 pages. And I self-published that this summer also. A website called blurb.com, which is okay. It's good if you already know what you're doing, but if not, it's like it doesn't really help you. I did that. I'm on my third printing of those, which is cool. Yeah, and I'm about to finish selling that printing too, so I might need to order more. People seem to like it.
I like it.
Thank you.
Do you have any last thoughts about zines in general, like the format or what you feel like you get out of it or what you think people who read your work get out of it?
Nope.
Fair enough.
Unless you have any follow-up questions.
No, I don't. So.
Cool.
Oh,
Welcome back, Scrawl Nation. You're listening to Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. Explain it to me. Explain it. Thanks, Gia, for playing the song again.
I thought I was stopping it from autoplay.
That was so sweet. Thank you. I appreciate the sentiment. It didn't quite work, but it's fine. So we're here at Scrawl. Gia's just having a lot of fun with the board. And we're talking about zines today. So I want to talk to our resident zine experts a little bit about making zines and the processes behind that. So Madeline, what is your experience with zines?
Especially digital versus print.
Yeah. So about 2 years ago, just some friends and I from the journalism department wanted to kind of make our own zine. And we didn't really have the funds, the supplies to kind of print something. Mm. So we wanted to make it digital. That way it could also be accessible to everyone whenever, and we could put content up whenever we wanted to.
Yeah.
So we kind of just got together and we were just like, we're going to do it. So we did it. We got together and we have different editors that were assigned. We have different sections. We have like our news section, which is called Happenings, arts and literature, so like different art, different poetry, short fiction, whatever. Film, music, Let's Talk and commentary, and we really focus on what's happening in the Chicago area.
Cool.
And trying to get exposure to local artists, musicians in the Chicago area.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So yours are a little bit less, like when I think of zines, I usually think of like a self-contained like booklet.
Yeah.
Yours is kind of more like broad, like you are able to have like the different sections and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I see what you mean, but yeah, ours is definitely more open and more of like trying to highlight this kind of community that we feel kind of goes underrepresented sometimes.
Sure.
So whether that be local DePaul students or Columbia students or SAIC, just people doing their own different art and poetry and just different artistic
work.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So that's like a niche that you found. Mm-hmm. That you were like, we got to report on this or like talk about it. That's awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah. And Zoe, you've got some personal zines?
Yeah, I make personal zines in the sense that I take my personal writing and art and I slap it all together in a little book.
And you call it a zine.
And I call it a zine. Call it a zine.
That's awesome. How do you do them seasonally?
Yes. Usually I put out a seasonal one, like fall, winter, spring season. And sometimes little baby other ones. I'm printing one hopefully this weekend that's not a seasonal one, but.
No, dope.
Yeah.
Is it from when you worked on at Quimby's?
Yes. Nice. I made it at Quimby's this past weekend, so I'm real excited to be. Have it done.
Yeah, can you get a little preview of what that thematically is about?
It's actually about my experience with having a body.
Dope.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm trying to read it for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and you know what's fun is that last week after Scrawl, we went over to Zoe's and we got
rifled through their zine collection.
Yeah, yes. We got to see all the like we got to see so many different kinds of zines because there were some really cute like booklet comic strip type mm-hmm. ones. There mm-hmm. were some that were filled with essays. I know you have the Quimby's like history book.
Yeah, I got the Quimby's history one that is thick.
Thick. Yeah, which is crazy.
Really
so like
cool.
There are some that are like 2 pages and then there are mm-hmm. like full-fledged like
you can truly do whatever
pamphlets.
You want. I remember mm-hmm. they were saying that like, oh, this one there's a CD that you have to listen to when you read the zine.
Yeah,
this
like one, a playlist like, to go yeah. along with it. Yeah. Yeah, which is just so cool. I think that's a lot of what zines strive to do is like just kind of break down like whatever rules there are around like art and experiencing it and just being like, no, I'm just going to create something and you're just going to enjoy it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Right? Exactly.
Yeah, love it. Where do you guys draw your inspiration from when you do zine? Madeline, do you do, like, anything for, like, do you write stuff to put in the zine?
I do sometimes. I haven't done it in a while, but I draw a lot of inspiration. It really came from working with literary magazines.
Oh, cool.
So working on, like, high school literary magazines, taking Barry Jean Borich's class on literary magazines. Everyone
nice.
Should take it. That's amazing.
I've been thinking about it, actually. It's,
yeah.
off, it's up
really
next quarter.
Cool.
Yeah, dope.
You'll talk a lot about zines and literary magazines. So I kind of drew inspiration from that and really just kind of always being really interested in what my peers are doing and what they're creating and feeling mm-hmm. like you're all doing amazing things. Let me kind of give you a platform that can show what you're doing.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I was actually a pretty avid reader of your zine.
Really?
Say it. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
As I say, it's shredded.
Shredded. Not another skateboard zine.
Plug it.
I read Shredded from time to time. I really enjoyed your monthly submission thing.
Yeah
where you'd have like a different theme every month and you're like this like month
Rookie
we're talking
does
about
that too.
Rookie yeah does that. Yeah, I thought that was very cool. Incredible. And very I think like a lot of the themes gave people chances to be like vulnerable in their writing, which mm-hmm. I love reading just like personal vulnerable stories because I like to feel vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Little thing about me. Shredded, super cool.
So what, like, what are some examples of like the themes? Do you remember any, Gia, that you really liked?
Yeah, so it's called Let's Talk, and what we did, it was kind of like a Rookie thing, I guess, but it's just like a different way to kind of give people like a prompt if they want to, because we used to get a lot of people that would be like, I want to submit, but I don't know what to submit, or I don't know what you look for.
Yeah.
And we were kind of like, we'll
take whatever.
Why don't you just send something to us and we'll look at it? But it was kind of just a way to kind of garner discussions around different prompts. So if people were interested, they kind of take this and run with it. And it's really interesting to see, especially when you use something kind of more broader or you give like a little description of something, how people will take it and kind of run with it. So we had, let's look. One of my favorites is breathe.
Mm.
So we give like just like a little prompt that says breathe. Take a moment to slow down, choking on air or gulping down smoke, inhaling moments and exhaling experiences, vital to life but underappreciated. Let's talk about the involuntary, the unnoticed, the calming, and the clarity.
Wow.
Love it.
Oh.
Yeah, I would read cool. even just like the little
that,
blurbs.
Yeah.
I
was just like, great. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's think.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
I also think it's interesting that you do that for your like potential contributors, like you do it mm-hmm. to give them like direction in some sense.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of like literary magazines and places that seek like submissions are so hard and fast about like rules and what kind of style they have and want to accept. But I love the idea of just having it be open
just
to
a
interpretation.
Free prompt.
Yeah.
I also really appreciated that your zine in particular uplifted a lot of like local music, especially mm-hmm. like DePaul musicians mm-hmm. where there's a lot of like talented bands from DePaul. I went to your 1 year party.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Wild. I'm actually a huge Shredded fan. Shredded had a very, very cool 1 year anniversary party, and a couple of my friends who are in some like DePaul bands played. And it was super cool. Everyone looked pretty fly. there was a good space.
Oh, well, thank cool. you so much.
Yeah. I mean, that's another like huge example of community through
zining, that's what we really were trying to foster too. And we understand like it's just an online thing, which allows people, I guess it's just kind of like a social media community then, and is really using that. And that's what's great also, is if you want to make a zine now, you have social media, which is free, and you can kind of plug yourself and get yourself known that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But really also trying to like take it offline and trying to make it into something tangible. So you would do shows.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Have
with,
our
like,
1 year. Yeah. Have
stuff.
Like poetry readings and stuff.
Yeah.
Very
that's so cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I think giving that, what I was talking about earlier, the whole niche thing, like, it was cool when I got to read things about like, oh, this came directly from a community that I am
mm-hmm.
in
yeah.
and like that I relate to, and I know the people who are being like featured and stuff, and like, you know, supporting my own
mm-hmm.
friends and stuff was very cool, and like seeing this platform that came up to support people of my community was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And like, shout out zines.
Yes.
Was there any kind of, I really thought the title was interesting, Shredded, Not Another Skateboard Zine. Can you speak to that a little?
Yeah. So when my friends and I were first kind of like playing with the idea of like making kind of like a zine, I don't know, Shredded just came to my mind and it just stuck. And what I initially was thinking was kind of like shredding convention or like stripping convention, kind of like shredding old newspapers or kind of like a mainstream kind of form of media, and creating your own that's going to really uplift the community that
Absolutely.
You're experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so cool.
And when
so
I,
good.
But when I like said the name to my friends, they're all like, yeah, that's really cool. But one of my friends was like, it reminds me of like a thrasher kind of like like it's way too close to thrasher. Skater I see boys. Where you're going, yeah, but like not everyone's gonna think that way.
Right. Yeah.
So that's when she was like, why don't we make the tagline something really just like ironic and sarcastic?
Yeah.
Not another love skateboard that. Scene.
So good.
Which is such a fun, like you just get to have fun with it. Mm-hmm. Like another mm-hmm. example of that. And we've talked a little bit about like how like being digital like sort of shapes how yeah. the zine
TV
is.
Yeah, a drama make a digital zine now. I'm inspired. My horoscope said I would feel inspired, so
here it is. It's happening now. But how do you think like how exactly does being digital like affect your distribution of like your content?
Yeah, so being digital, it allows us to kind of upload whenever we want.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
if mm-hmm. there are stories, like there are definitely times when it's more of like a sensitive thing. Maybe we do want to do something a little more newsy. So we like did something, one of our friends wrote about the Milo Yiannopoulos speech and how they felt affected by that. And that was really newsy. We could get it up really fast.
Yeah.
Right.
I interviewed some people at the Women's March and got like different photos of people at the Women's March. So just kind of having that platform to be able to put up things whenever we want, whenever we get submissions, which also allows us to take rolling submissions and feature yeah. more work.
Yeah.
But distributing really comes with like being aware of like your online presence and really trying to like bolster it that way and get yeah. the word out through just like word of mouth and like different social yeah. media things and really trying to immerse yourself in the community that you're trying to cover.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. I think we have like such a, it's so interesting to see both of your guys's like mm-hmm. experience with zines because mm-hmm. they're almost like exact opposites, but still the same thing, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. which is cool. So Zoe, what is your like distribution like for when you make your personal zines?
Well, I make mine like on a Word document on my computer and then I print it and fold and staple.
But don't you send them out to get printed?
I do actually. I am that person who's like, I'm too lazy to actually print it, so I send it to UPS. I send it to UPS and they print it for me. And
sounds way easier to me.
It's pretty easy. It's a little, it can be a little pricey, but I also do a lot of color printing, which is usually why I send it out because
yeah, so when Steven was saying that it cost $240,
that's how much it costs to print at DePaul.
Okay.
In black and white.
Okay.
Six pages.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Six pages.
And then they staple them themselves. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you want like color or high quality, like really intense paper, I suggest sending it out. I mean, like, you know, there's all sorts of places to print. So
mm-hmm. yeah, and I kind of want to talk a little bit about the difference again in print and digital in like the design process. So mm-hmm. you, I know, do a lot of like painting and collaging, right? Yeah. All by hand.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I know some people will do like they'll make like digital illustrations or right. whatever and put them in
mm-hmm.
the zine. I don't really have a question. Okay. I'm just bringing that up.
Madeline, how I always thought your design was cool. How'd you do it?
Yeah, it's a really
thanks, Gina. Thanks for the question there. Yeah,
it's a really sleek design. We use Squarespace.
Oh yeah,
which
oh,
I guess yeah. in comparison to like sending like printing prices, Squarespace we pay around like $20 a month.
Oh, that's not
to
bad.
Keep it going. It's yeah, it's not bad, but when you're not making anything,
right,
it's not bad. I love my site. So
yeah,
yes,
but Squarespace is like a really great platform to start out with, and it's really easy to use. And
do you
we
have
actually,
your own URL? With yes, Squarespace?
Okay, yes. That's so when you like pay for yeah. it, you get your own URL.
Oh, nice.
So we had one of our friends who went to Columbia, and he was like a graphic design major, and he just went in and was like, "Here's what I'm thinking. Here's what like it sounds like you guys are thinking. Kind of like sleek, easy to use." Mm-hmm. And he just went in and like designed the whole thing. Shout
that's
out
awesome.
Shout out to John Lucas. We owe okay. him our
and
lives.
And you guys were just like, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, we
great.
Were like, oh my gosh. Like, this looks so much better. And it took us, it was really fast. So like, that's another thing is like reaching out into those communities when people yeah. want to like help yeah. and stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was just done on Squarespace. And then keeping nice. With our design, we want to make like all our social media kind of represent that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with like our colors. We take our logo with like the shredded logo, take the S out. Use a lot of like popping colors with mm-hmm. like black and white backgrounds.
Not to compare you to other mm-hmm. like publications, but I always got kind of like a, if you read Man Repeller, which is one of my favorite online mm-hmm. publications, I was got kind of like that vibe, except more like literary.
Mm-hmm.
And then like another favorite kind of like low-key media thing is Betches.
Yeah.
Which I'm a fan of. But yeah, shout out Squarespace.
Okay.
I just wanted to add that, sorry.
I think the aspect of money is really interesting because mm-hmm. you're saying like you don't have the funds for printing, but like hosting a website is expensive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that doesn't come free anymore.
No.
Yeah. But I also know that, like Zoe, we were talking a little bit last week about mm-hmm. people, so anybody can sell their zines at Quimby's,
yes,
right? Like they
yes.
can sell physical copies mm-hmm. and they set their price.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's really interesting that yeah. there are sort of ways to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't you saying, what were you saying about pricing? Like have you ever, you've never sold your
I don't
zines,
usually
right?
sell my stuff because I'm just like, hey, you want to read this? You can read it.
Yeah.
But like, but
like
a lot
that means
people,
enough to you. You're yeah. good with that, yeah.
And a lot of people like do trades with me. So like I'll be like, like actually I'm doing a trade this weekend with one of my friends. They have two zines and I have two zines and we're just going to trade for trade.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's
yeah.
a big thing of zine communities, trading zines actually. It's being like, hey, I have these zines that I think you like. What do you want to trade me for it?
Yeah, and that almost makes more sense to me than paying mm-hmm. for it or trying to get paid for mm-hmm. it, right? If yeah. it's so anti-capitalist
yes.
in nature.
Katie, well, also, with Quimby's, I feel like if you do sell your zines, though, it's also like, it's not that capitalist because
right, you're not,
it's not curated.
Really
like they're not like, oh, yeah. we're gonna curate based on what we think will sell or what we think is gonna do well
no.
in this market.
Yeah.
It's like you set your own price, you make the money. So if it sells, it doesn't matter to us. If they
yeah.
want to buy it, they can buy it.
Right.
Exactly.
We're not spending any money on advertising.
So it's kind of like,
yeah.
It's again, it's still like very just free.
Yes. Yes.
I love that.
It's a nice free market, if you will.
Mm. Yeah. And I guess there really is no way to make money like that from a digital standpoint, is
yeah
it? Kind of ads, right?
Yeah, with the digital, if we wanted to put ads on it, but then that just feels too corporate,
right.
too clickbaity.
Yeah, yeah, I totally get it.
So it's totally fine.
Do you ever do like fundraisers? Like would your anniversary party have had a fundraiser in it?
We could, but at the same time the community that we're reaching, to no one's fault. Like, we're all college students.
Yeah.
We're
yeah,
all
yeah, yeah.
just, like, trying to get by.
Like, whatever.
So
yeah.
poor.
Yeah. yeah. So, no, we've never really, like, done fundraiser things. It's all just coming from our pockets.
Yeah.
Or, like, our pockets, which is fine.
I mean,
fine.
Just, like, furthering
it's like
the
a passion
point.
Project.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Furthering that, driving that point home that
yeah.
zines are about, like, creation and not
yeah
you know,
mm-hmm.
any kind of, like,
yeah,
monetary
sure.
value out of it.
Yeah,
for sure.
For sure.
For sure. Okay,
for sure.
We're going to take our second song break real quick. Thank you. Jeez, yeah. trying to help me again. I don't know if it's going to hurt this time.
Oh, God.
Just want to avoid the awkward music video intros.
Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. Okay, so this is Hines?
Hines. They just played Lincoln Hall a couple weeks ago, and I saw
yeah,
them.
Yeah,
it was
yeah,
very
yeah.
cool.
For, like, Tomorrow Never Knows. So.
Yeah, yeah, it was a really good show.
No sé cómo se coge la raqueta. ¿Me entiendes?
Es que tienen pasta,
ellos. Sí, sí, sí.
Welcome back, Scrawl Nation. You're listening to Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. We've been talking about zines for the past hour or so.
Yeah.
Been having a lot of fun. We're going to do a quick wrap-up with what you've been reading.
It's just what you're reading.
We'll have to get a little jingle for it.
Yes. What you're reading.
G has been reading Slaughterhouse-Five.
Yeah, I've been reading. I skipped on a lot of like classic American novels when I was younger, and so my parents were like, "That's dumb. You should be cultured." So for Christmas, they got me Slaughterhouse-Five by Vonnegut, and they got me Fahrenheit 451.
Nice.
Yeah, Bradbury.
I was gonna say, we talk about Fahrenheit 451 a lot when Books Week's.
Oh, yeah. Books for sure. In September, yeah. Not far into Slaughterhouse-Five. I'm like a solid 20 pages, but I did that in like one sitting because I was like interested. So, nice. So far, so good.
Nice.
It's talking a lot about war.
I have not read it, honestly. Oh. So.
Good.
Vonnegut's good. I've read Cat's Cradle.
I love Cat's
crazy,
Cradle.
Yeah.
Vonnegut's nuts. But I think instead of Vonnegut, we wanted to chat a little bit about our resident zine expert's recent read. Madeline, what you reading?
Yeah, so I'm in a popular like young adult fiction class with Emily Tadreau.
Is it writing it?
I love it. It's reading it.
Okay.
Yeah, she's usually
like
creative.
Talking about like what is. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, okay. She's usually creative writing, but this counts for like your American Lit.
Oh, dope.
Which is really cool. Yeah. And we had to read The Hunger Games. And
all three books?
Just the first one. Just the first.
Well, I'm just saying should read all three because they're
second one's the best.
They are.
Yeah. Flew through Catching Fire.
But I
flew.
I had not. I was probably like the only person in the class who had not read The Hunger Games.
Wow.
Like hadn't touched it, hadn't opened it. I hadn't even seen the movies.
Well, because there was a time when it was just everywhere.
It was inescapable. Yeah, it was literally everything. Jennifer Lawrence was like the one.
Yeah, I remember that.
Everyone was like, Joss Hutcherson is so hot. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. I was like, I have to read it before the movie. And then the movie came out. Then I was like, I can't see the movie until I read the book. Then I was like, I have no desire to read this book anymore.
Yeah,
because I'm not 14.
Yeah.
So first time reading Hunger Games, what'd you think?
Honestly, I really liked it.
It's so good. Exactly.
I was like, wow, like I'm surprised that I like actually
very entertained.
I like held out for so long, and then I was like, nope, I was wrong. It was really good.
I think it's got all the good elements of like a true teen fiction where it's like actiony, it's suspense,
and
there's
love
a love triangle in there. Yeah. And you're just like, oh yeah, and you got two teams. They're just like, oh, I want her to end up with this guy, and then
PETA.
I want her to end up with PETA and Gale.
Team PETA.
Truly, I don't see why Gale is.
Well,
so
we can't
cool.
do any spoilers,
we can argue about that because I have thoughts.
Okay, we'll argue about it. We'll bring that back.
We'll bring it back to the office, but and also there's that.
Bring it back to the office.
But there's also a team that's just like. Team no one. Katniss should just live her freaking life and not die.
Well, the crazy
here.
Thing about Hunger Games is that like it's literally a book about children killing each other.
Yeah,
and
I became that a lot.
Immensely. Like I remember all the adults being like, "This is horrific.
Just, like
why are kids reading this?"
My mom read it before I read it, and she like sat me down and was like, "Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for the Hunger Games?
And I was like, Mom.
Like, Mom, I've read Twilight.
It's about, like, oppressive governmental systems and forced murder. Forced child murder. And
not only forced child murder, but as a form of entertainment.
Yeah, everyone can't get enough.
Disgusting. Yeah.
They're just like, let's watch some children freaking have mental breakdowns in the middle of the woods.
Yes.
Fun. It's an annual children cull, if you will.
Can I have another Hunger Games hot take?
Yeah.
Best character, Rue.
Oh, yeah.
When I used to play lacrosse, sometimes after like my friends would like score a goal, we would like kiss our fingers and like do the three finger salute to the whistle or whatever, the Rue whistle.
Wait, I can do it.
No, we're not doing it. That's the like Hunger Games like theme. Stop, Gia. I'm done.
I can almost whistle.
You guys are all not allowed to whistle anymore. Zoe, what you reading? Are you reading anything?
Just zines.
Nice.
Just zines.
Not just zines. Zines.
Just,
right?
You know, them zines.
I'm also reading New York Times food section because I need to
Gia, you already got yours.
I got a few.
You already got your what you're reading. We didn't ask you.
We didn't.
I just think everyone should read the New York Times food section. They got some good recipes up this week.
Interesting. Okay, we'll keep that in mind. All right, so we had a lot of fun talking about zines today. Hopefully the connection to peer writing tutoring was self-evident in that it, you know, process. We talked a lot about processes. Yeah, processes. I always mess that up. As well as, you know, like agency and being able to do whatever you want.
But
like,
you know,
your work
we're
is
also
your
not
work.
Your mama's cross show, so whatever.
Gia is just on another level today. I don't know who this person is next to me in the studio. She's okay. Just got a whole new radio personality
it's
coming
iconic.
Out of her today.
I'm ready for this, but also, wow.
But I think that's all we got for this week. We'll see you back same time, same place.
Mm-hmm. Same
next
airways.
Fridays.
Next
same
Friday.
Same airways.
All right. Have a good week, everybody.
Radio DePaul is awesome.
Engaging. Ballin'. An opportunity for me to voice my opinion.
Really cool. Really laid back.
A big community of everything.
Radio DePaul is Chicago's college connection.
Ever wanted to see our Radio DePaul DJs in studio? Tune into our HD webcam to watch our shows live.